Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Let's Talk CFL podcast. Roundtable discussion recorded live on Sunday and Wednesday nights. Visit Let's Talk CFL on Facebook for showtime. Brought to you by the Let's Talk Sports Groups on Facebook. Our partners, LostWolvesOnSport.com. Stream live on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Hey, good evening, sports fans, and welcome to Let's Talk CFL podcast, episode number 567. I'm your host, Christopher Jones, coming to you live from Merritt, British Columbia. We got a very truncated show for you tonight. I don't know whether it's going to be truncated or not, but we're missing two compadres. Charles is down in Vegas. I think it's business. He's vacationing for sure. He's having fun and everything else, but he did talk about some kind of business, something. Anyhow, don't know what he's doing. And Rick seems to be, I just found out he's down in New Zealand. We'll let Willie talk a little bit more on that. And so it's just CJ and Will tonight. We're going to talk. There's not a lot going on in the CFL. Yes, we are having combines, and yes, we're having Chad Kelly meltdowns, and but that's about it. There's really not much happening in the CFL. There's not a lot of news. I'm posting as much as I can. Wow. I just noticed something. This Carolyn Schroeder has started a petition on change.org to prevent Chad Kelly from playing in the CFL. I might just
really?
Go sign it. Yeah, seriously.
Really?
I just posted that on, on our Facebook group 24 minutes ago.
Wow. Okay. I got to look at
that. So we're going to talk about his drunken, and we'll call it under substance abuse rant, because we really don't know what his choice of drug was at the time, whether it was alcohol, crystal meth, or what, but there was something definitely, he had something in his system, because the normal, ordinary people do not do things like that. And we're going to talk about it a little bit. We've been talking about a lot of things about Chad Kelly over the last few years, or not few weeks, or actually we've had 2 weeks off. So this is our first show for almost a month, and we're missing a couple people. So anyhow, I got really nothing to rant. I could talk forever, but we might as well just introduce Will, and we can go from there. So Will McDonald, Calgary, Alberta. How you doing, my friend?
I am good. You know, there's a phrase that I use every day in my life, and it goes something like this. I will ask people, what is the most undiagnosed sickness in the world? Any idea?
Well,
idea?
It could be schizophrenia.
It's a whole group of things. You could put it into one group, and I call it mental health.
Mental health.
Okay.
Mental health. Yeah.
And Chad Kelly seems to have some issues there. Is all I'm going to say. Okay.
No, we're going to talk more about that, because he definitely has some issues.
Yes, he does, and it doesn't. And I come from a background of some mental health people that I've known. And when you take mental health and you mix it with alcohol, oh, my God, it's scary. That's all I'm going to say. It's
100%.
Scary. It's very scary. And I'm going to – it's funny, because this woman who's done this petition on change.org, it just so happens that the latest and greatest mayor of Calgary is not doing a very good job.
Okay.
So there is an ongoing, I don't know what you would call it, but it's a petition in Calgary, and they have to get 660,000 signatures to get her out of government in Calgary. And
that's a lot.
They're all. It is, because you only need, I think she only needed 300,000 to get voted in. Okay?
Yeah.
But right But right now, more people have signed that petition than voted the last time, okay? It's kind of amazing. It's kind
then
of amazing.
Voted.
So, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And there's a big push to get her out and get her out as soon as possible. And she's a wing nut of the nth degree. So,
well,
anyway,
you know,
that's all I'm going to say.
How do people like that get elected in the first place?
Because not enough people vote.
Right, but that, people did vote for her. So it that something had to happen,
yeah.
Right? So was she replacing somebody that was really bad?
No. Well, in
retrospect,
he was.
There's no excuse for this.
In retrospect, he was not great, but compared to her, he looked like the greatest mayor in Calgary's history. Compared to her, she is one of these, if you'll excuse the expression, tree hugging, save the universe, politically correct, just goes on and on and on, and all she wants to do is raise property taxes continuously. And one of the things she wants to do is she wants to put row housing across the street from my house. Okay? That's all I need. Anyways.
She sounds like she would be in conflict with Danielle Smith.
Very big conflict. As a matter of fact, though, apparently the rumor in Alberta is that Calgary's former mayor is going to run against Danielle Smith with the NDP party. And I don't think he has a chance of winning. I don't think he has a chance of winning because how can I describe him? He's an East Indian, which I have no problem with. He is not come out of the closet. And he still lives in his parents' basement. And he was the mayor in Calgary for 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I'm not sure he will get 10 votes. Daniel Smith is going to win by a landslide in that province.
Well, yeah, she is. She is.
She could run for prime minister and she'd win.
Oh. Until she fucks it up and becomes just like all the rest of them. So,
yeah, that's a possibility. Yeah. Okay, this is not a political show. We're going to get off of this subject really
fast.
No,
it
is not. We're going to talk some football.
No, it is not.
So what happened recently, as in 2 or 3 days ago, our MOP, reigning MOP from Toronto, Chad Kelly, was involved in some form of substance abuse. He was sitting in front of his computer. We're not going to make any assumptions, but he didn't have a shirt on. We don't know how much more clothing he had. We don't care. It's not speculation. This isn't a man crush thing. And he went on a rant. And I didn't get to see the whole thing. And the person who captured it only captured the back half of it. So we don't know who he was actually talking about, but he had a big problem with the fact that someone out there had 2 million followers on Instagram or Twitter or whatever it was, and he didn't. And he wanted to know why he didn't have as many followers. So when he posts a picture, he only gets 75 likes, and he wants to know what kind of a back world place that he is in that this he is so disrespected. And he did this while he was intoxicated of some form or another, and he said fuck more times than I do. Okay. And I mean, like, he was just, it was nonstop. And I don't understand how Now, I understand if people didn't see this, okay, because it was on Instagram Live. It was deleted almost immediately. It was absolutely a miracle that anybody found it. And I don't believe the Toronto Argonauts had the opportunity to see it. I don't know whether the league, the commissioner, had the ability to see it. But I'll tell you, there are two people out there. One is Todd Mogi, and one is Christopher Jones, myself, CJ, that have been nonstop tweeting to the commissioner, to the Toronto Argonauts, to Farhan Lowji, Dave Naylor, Justin Dunk, any of the news people that will listen to us, and we've all sent them copies of this video. Now, finally, TSN came public and discussed it, and they put out an article today, and I actually don't know who put out the article. I don't know if it was it just said TSN. It didn't actually say the author did it. I'm looking at it right now. No, it does not say what the author, so it's an unnamed reporter. So, yeah, this is just hilarious. He just literally went on a rant, and it was bad. And you know what? Should I let it go, William?
Let what go?
Well, should I play it on the air?
I don't think it's necessary. I think people have seen it and heard it. Because
it's on our Facebook group.
I've read lots of posts today where people are accusing you of being obsessed. Okay.
I understand that.
And
it's kind of weird.
So I don't know. I'm just reading something that's pretty funny here. Some guy writes to you. His name's Will Hansen. He says, How can you post news articles on Facebook? I thought Facebook did not allow news articles to be posted on the Canadian site. But this is second post of the day attacking this QB. So, yes, it's compulsive obsession. You sound like one of those guys that spends all their time on Facebook attacking Rourke and his NFL dream. Well, obviously, this guy doesn't know you.
No, not at all.
Because you've never attacked Rourke in his dreams, so.
No, I've defended it more times than enough.
Yeah, I don't know why anybody's defending this putz, okay? Because that's what he is. He's a putz. I just think he hasn't been hugged enough in his lifetime or gotten the admiration that he's seeking. You know what I mean?
Oh, I do, 100%.
I mean, and this year it all started with him having that terrible playoff game and not speaking to anybody afterwards. It was kind of like, how could I have possibly lost that game? I'm Chad Kelly. I can't lose that game. And he wasn't even in that game. So, I don't know, man.
I think it started before that. I don't know if you remember this, but Chad Kelly first came to the CFL 2 years ago now, okay? He said, I'm going to paraphrase it because I can't actually quote him. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. He said that he is going to destroy the CFL. He is going to look so good, and this is just a stepping stone for him to get back to the NFL.
That is correct.
Okay. Now, I don't know what his actual words were, but that's pretty close, isn't it?
Yeah, no, you got the gist of his comments straight. Sure.
So from the minute he stepped into the CFL, he's shown it disdain.
That is correct.
Okay.
That we know for a fact, yes.
And that the CFL is beneath him, and he is only here so that the people in the NFL will notice him.
Right.
Okay. And I believe the people in the NFL are noticing him, and it's not in good light.
Well, no, but I could turn that around and say the reason he is in the CFL is that the people in the NFL noticed him and kicked him the fuck out.
100%. And
okay.
There's not a hope in hell that he's going to get back in there after doing the shit that he's been doing.
Not even close. Not even close, because there for every there's so many people out there that are as good, if not better, than Chad Kelly in the NFL currently. Okay, so I'm really hoping, and let's just talk about this for a minute. I think this makes the CFL look like a bush league, that they haven't reacted to this yet, that they haven't done anything about this yet. I think it makes us look bad.
Well, 100%
it does. And I really think, I mean, these things don't take weeks upon weeks upon weeks upon weeks to investigate. If you want to take care of this shit, you can take care of it right away. And I would punt them out of the CFL if their investigation comes to a conclusion that we all know what the conclusion is. He's a wackadoodle.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, and he just proved it. Now, I have a question for you. And we went over and over and over this several years ago. And it was another loose nut from the NFL or from the American Football Society, which was Johnny Manziel.
Yep.
Okay. Now, Johnny Manziel got banned from the CFL by Randy Ambrosi.
Yep.
Did you ever find out what he did?
I don't know what he did.
What did he do to get him banned? And there was nothing made public about it. He just said that it was a breach of contract. And I know that he had to sign a I'm going to be a good boy contract with the CFL.
Yeah, and it was some kind of substance abuse, I thought, to be honest with you. And I don't know, maybe he got banned from the CFL because he wasn't good enough to play here. That might be an idea, too.
You don't get banned from there. Look at Drew Willey. I want to know what Johnny Manziel did that was so bad that got him banned for life from the CFL, and these guys are humming and hawing about Chad Kelly.
Right.
Now, is it because Manziel was with Montreal and Chad Kelly is the golden child in Toronto, and they need the Argos to look good? Now, you got to remember that the... You got to remember that the every team that has violated the salary cap has been punished, except for the Argos.
Yeah, right.
The Argos got a walk on being over the salary cap, and they weren't over by a little bit. It was substantial.
Right.
And Ambrosi gave them a walk. So, are they? Is Toronto Argonauts getting special treatment right now from the CFL?
I, you know what you got to look at here. Let's look at, and it started just a little bit. Okay. I think this whole thing started, the exodus out of Toronto started with Corey Mace signing in Saskatchewan. Okay. My first thing is, why would you want to start being a head coach in Saskatchewan? Because they're not a very good organization. They don't have a very good team. You might not have a job in a year or two. So let's start with Corey Mace. And then Corey Mace takes half of the coaching staff out of Toronto. And is that a combination of people like Corey Mace better, i.e. is Ryan Dinwiddie a dick, or did everybody want out of that organization? Because you got Chad Kelly on top of it, and he's a dick himself. And then you start losing. There was a mass exodus of players and a couple of star players.
Yeah.
So my question is, what the hell is going on there? And then on top of that, Michael Clemens hasn't commented really on anything. So is he really the general manager, or is he a figurehead and John Murphy is actually the general manager? Because he's the guy who made this stupid decision to fire this trainer in the first place. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I do, Will. Sorry, I have my mic muted. I'm having a meltdown.
Yes, I know.
In the background.
Someone's
here,
having
so
a meltdown.
We're just going to carry on with it. And yeah, I know. He's 3 years old, so got to understand that one a little bit.
Absolutely.
And, okay, so John Murphy. Now, John Murphy was suspended by, was it the Toronto Argonauts or was it the league, for a physical altercation between him and some of the Ticat fans. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
So he was suspended. And I think that he is the general manager in Toronto, but they are not willing to call him that because of his past record or because he's on probation or he's being punished or something. Okay. But
yes.
I believe he is the general manager because Michael Clemens is not a manager. I don't know what to call him. He's more of a mascot.
He's kind of like the Queen in England. You know what I mean?
Well, the Queen's dead.
He's a figure. No, okay, the King. He's a figurehead, and that's it. Okay, because he was the most popular Toronto Argonaut of all time, right?
Yeah, I mean but you know what I'm saying? He just. I don't think he's got the mind to be a football administrator in that aspect of things. I could be totally wrong. I could be completely off base, and I'm sorry to any Argonaut fans out there who believe otherwise. But I have not seen anything remotely that says that he is capable of running this organization the way that people believe he is. And the way I look at this is one of two things have happened. Okay, we've had an ongoing 2-year problem in the Toronto Argonaut organization. Okay. And my understanding is everybody was oblivious to this. Okay. Nobody knew about it until Chad Kelly got into a rant and started swearing at this female coach from across a restaurant or a cafeteria or wherever it was. And then this came to light and it was taken and her manager asked her what the hell was going on, and she explained the abuse and harassment from Kelly from the last 2 years. Okay? And then it went to John Murphy, and Murphy came out with the, and I will quote this, "This is a can of worms that did not need to be opened." Okay? And who says that? That is so politically incorrect. I mean, I couldn't say that to somebody, especially a female who has just been sexually harassed by my star quarterback. How do you come out and say something so fucking ridiculous? I don't understand it, okay? Now, here's my problem with Michael Pinball Clemens. If John Murphy made the decision to fire this woman because she lost her job, and we're going to use the word fired loosely, and I know Argo fans are going to say she was a contractual employee and they just chose not to renew your contract. And I can go on and on and on about why she's actually been fired and not exactly what they just said, but you have to know labor law to do that. So the problem is, did Michael Pinball Clemens know what John Murphy was doing? Did Murphy consult with him? Did they talk about this? Did they decide that the best route for them to do is not to renew the contract of this worker and not to discipline Chad Kelly? Pinball Clemens agreed and approved this, then he needs to be fired. He needs to be removed from the organization with John Murphy. Okay? Because this, what they did was totally and completely unacceptable. Yes, we don't know all the facts. Yes, we're waiting for an investigation. And if it comes out the way that we believe things that happened or the way that it's been reported in the media, then these two idiots should be fired. Okay? On the other side of that is if Michael Pinball Clemens was oblivious to this, John Murphy didn't tell him what was going on, and Pinball didn't know what was happening in his organization. Pinball didn't know what his star QB was harassing one of the females on the team. Didn't know any of this at all. Then he's incompetent, and he should be fired. Because if you don't know what the fuck's going on in your team, how can you be president and general manager?
That's why I think he is a figurehead. I really wonder if he runs anything on that team and if he's just the figurehead and he goes out and he does the glad handing, the smile and the shaking of hands and that kind of stuff. And the football decisions are made by the people who are interested in the football decisions. Because don't forget, Michael Clemens didn't want this job.
No, he did not.
Because he had a living doing the speaking circuit and that kind of stuff, and he was just doing fine. And they literally asked him to do this.
Yeah.
So I tend to wonder if there was some caveats on his part saying, okay, but I want to do this and this and this on the side, and maybe somebody else runs those football decisions. I think over the years we know enough about Michael Pinball Clemens that he wouldn't make that kind of a decision. He may not be an administrator, but I think he's got people around him so that he makes the right decisions.
I've always took him to be a very honorable man.
Yes,
very
me
upright,
too. Me too.
Stand-up kind of guy. And that he would
Me
do
too.
What was right regardless of the consequences. Okay?
And I agree if he's involved. That's the key thing.
So I don't understand how this happened. So if he has to be oblivious to the whole situation or was at the time, because obviously it's on his fucking desk now. There's no way he can get away from this now.
Right.
And it's just like, why has he not at least stepped forward and had communications? And
right,
I understand the concept of
it's
in litigation and we can't talk about things before the courts. Sorry, Will, go ahead.
Yeah, I know. I you see, it's funny that he just hasn't come out and made a statement.
Something. Anything. We got a statement from the Toronto Argonauts that says that they are aware of the situation, they are taking it very seriously, and they cannot comment further because it's before the courts. Okay?
Right.
And that was written by some intern. I don't even think that was a paid employee that wrote that. They took it from somewhere else.
My question is, okay, if the Argonauts aren't making statements, like if the organization's not making statements, how the fuck are they letting Chad Kelly on Twitter? Like, you would think they'd have somebody full-time just to manage what he's doing because he's not doing them any favors. I think we're finally realizing what kind of a fucking loose cannon this guy is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, most football teams have a social media policy.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I know players on BC that was suspended for violating that. I think one of them was even released. Wally didn't put up with that kind of shit. I don't know, and I cannot speak for the current administration of the BC Lions, but to my knowledge, nothing bad has been happening there. John Huffnagel would not tolerate anything like that. And now that he has stepped back, I don't think Dave Dickinson would as well. Okay? I know for a fact that Jones would release the guy instantly. Instantly.
I know of an ex assistant general manager who I spoke to once upon a time, and I won't tell you which team he was from, but his whole 90% of his job was keeping the players in line.
Damage control.
And he described it as herding cats and taking care of a bunch of 5-year-old children, which I wouldn't be surprised by. And not all of them, but it doesn't take all of them anyways. It takes 5% to screw things up. So...
Yeah. I cannot speak for the management of the Toronto Argonauts, because they must relatively be doing a good job if they have the same problem, because they have kept nobody else has been in the media. Nobody else is doing bad things. Just Chad Kelly. So it's less than 5%. Well, it's actually 2.5%,
right,
isn't it? Just
right.
One person, but he's doing it in a biblical way. That it's just it boggles the mind. And I'm not obsessed with it. I love my CFL. I really do. And this guy is dragging it down.
Yep.
And not only this guy. I'll tell you, it's not Chad Kelly. And in fact, if you go back to what Chad Kelly actually did, I don't think it was all that bad. I don't think that asking a woman out repeatedly and her saying no, it's not a crime. It's not bad. It's in poor taste. I mean, you know, we've always had this concept of, you know, a woman says no, it means no, right? But how many times have you asked a woman something and she said no, and you ask her the second time and she says yes? So you don't know unless you ask multiple times, right? I'm not trying to say that that's what needs to happen, but if it's just a question, will you go out with me Saturday night? And she says no. And I go, okay, does that mean she doesn't want to go out with me, or she doesn't want to go out Saturday night? Right? You don't know. You know, the question needs to be expanded a little bit, and most men wouldn't ask that question again immediately because they just got turned down. So they're going to sit back and run away with their tail behind their legs and then come back another time and try it again. And if that's a mission that you want to be on, then so be it. And I'm not saying that dating is an exact science, because it's not. Okay. So Chad Kelly didn't do anything wrong there. If he asked her 50 times and 50 times she said no, that's probably pushing it a little bit, right? But still, I mean, there's no crime. There's nothing, no law broken here. Then he's spreading rumors on a bus, on the team bus, that she's sleeping with one of the other players. Well, that's not illegal. I don't even think it's unethical. I think it's immoral. It's in extreme bad taste, and it sounds very vindictive, and it sounds very grade 5. He's just an immature man boy, okay? But then when he starts yelling at her across the room in front of witnesses, using vulgar language, that becomes assault. Okay?
Yes.
Assault is not physically hitting somebody. Assault is verbally abusing them. Okay? That's a crime. It's not a crime that is prosecuted very often. It's hard to prove. She has 8 witnesses, but they're all members of the Toronto Argonauts. How many of them are actually going to step up and speak the truth? They've probably all been given a lecture already on that subject by management. That's
especially
why I don't know how much this inquiry is going to get any truth.
I was going to say also, especially since he's supposedly the star of that team, right?
Exactly. I mean, who on the Toronto Argonauts right now is going to side with this girl over Chad Kelly?
Yep.
Anybody
you know
who doesn't
what?
Want to work in the CFL anymore.
The scariest thing for me is it's hard enough getting people in the seats in Toronto. This is just going to fucking kill it, regardless of what the outcome is. These people online that you're arguing with, these are just diehard Toronto fans that don't see past their nose, okay? It's just, it's the general public that worries me, so.
Oh, it's going to destroy the team.
Yeah, and we've always talked that we need Toronto in the CFL for the CFL to work.
If the Toronto Argonauts had come out right when this happened, right when this broke, and said, this is what happened, we're deeply sorry about it, and we apologize for what happened. Chad Kelly is suspended pending an investigation. We would have had nothing to talk about.
Nope.
Right?
Just eliminate the story before it becomes a story.
Literally, we would have had absolutely nothing to talk about. Now, after Toronto Argonauts did not do that, if the CFL had come out and said, we take this very seriously, we have a partnership with ending violence against women, and this is not what we want to put forward to our fan base, we are suspending him pending an end. The outcome of an investigation. Then the league dipped it in the butt. But that didn't happen.
Yep. Nope. It did not. Which, once again, like the whole thing was handled poorly. So, and even...
I have yet to see anything handled by Randy Ambrosi properly.
Well, and the scariest thing is he came out with one statement, and that's the last we've heard from him, and there still hasn't talked about any investigation. It's just like you get on top of this stuff right away, and then you make it go away. It's that simple.
Oh, 100%. You know what? Write the chick the check.
Well, no.
She's only asking $135,000. Write her a check. Have her sign a non-disclosure agreement, okay?
Yep.
Find Chad Kelly. Put him into some type of counseling. And he's playing football in June.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And you know, even if it's sensitivity training or anything stupid, it looks like you're doing something.
Or as far as maybe even send them someplace for a lobotomy. Didn't they used to do those a long time ago?
Yeah, but they're not allowed to do those anymore. It's
same
with electroshock therapy.
And it would
that's why so many people are self-medicating.
It would also probably mess up that great haircut of his, so, you know.
The bowl cut?
That's all. It would probably mess up his great haircut. So, you know, what can I say? It's too bad.
Yeah. So, I don't see a good outcome for this. In all honesty.
No, I don't either.
I see four people needing to lose their jobs. Four.
Yeah.
Can you name them?
Say that again.
There are four people that need to lose their jobs over this. Can you name them?
Yeah, Randy Ambrosi.
Yeah, 100%.
The quarterback.
And the other three. John Murphy, Chad
the
Kelly.
The quarterback. Chad
Michael
Murphy,
Clemens.
Chad Kelly, and Chris Jones.
Fuck off. Me or the other coach?
No, Chris Jones.
Why are you firing the guy in Edmonton?
The coach. Well, because.
Oh. What?
He should have been fired 2 years ago. That's all. He should have been fired 2 years ago. Anyways.
Have you been drinking?
No, not at all. I don't drink. Remember?
I know.
I don't
That's
drink
why
at all.
I'm confused
I
by
did.
Why where that just came from.
I wish I did.
Chad
but
Kelly,
I don't.
John Murphy, Michael Clemens, and Randy Ambrosi should all lose their jobs over this.
Yeah, I agree. I 100% agree. So, will it happen? I don't know. If it doesn't happen, the league looks like...
They already look like shit.
Looks like,
they already look like shit right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I know they do. I know they do. That's too bad. It's too bad. It's too bad. I just sent you a picture of my brother having a good time in New Zealand. Not a scary
yeah,
looking
he
dude.
Looks like he's self-medicating.
Yeah, he probably is. He does like to drink. So, unlike his big little brother, he's a Scotch kind of guy.
I've never been able to drink that.
Yeah, me. I used to like scotch and cigars, but I've read somewhere numerous times that it's not good for you, so I stopped doing it.
Yeah.
Anyways, so let's talk about something else. Did we beat the shit out of this? Let's talk about something else for a few minutes.
Okay, what else do you want to talk about? Can we come back?
We can come back. My question for you is what do you think about the stuff that's going on about Edmonton is trying to sell to a private group? You think that's a good thing or a bad thing? That's a good thing or a bad thing?
I've always been a proponent of community-owned teams. Okay.
Okay.
I honestly believe that they should be community-owned, every
that?
One of the
Why
teams.
Why is that? Why is that?
Because it creates a vested interest in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The problem is that there is no true community-owned team. I mean, everybody likes to say they are. Winnipeg likes to say they are. Saskatchewan brags about it. And Edmonton has always been that. Edmonton isn't community-owned in the sense that they are actually managed by a group, a corporate entity, a group of company owners, right? So,
right.
Although they don't have anybody on the masthead, they literally, it's just a group of businessmen that run this organization in Edmonton. Saskatchewan, they keep selling shares, but the shares are meaningless. Because the stockholders get outvoted constantly. And Winnipeg is basically owned by the provincial government, I believe. And I could be wrong, and somebody will correct me, I'm sure. But
I'm sure Mark
will
call you right
kind
away.
Of, what, no, I think Rudy's going to send me a text.
Okay.
I believe that the provincial government's forgiven all their loans. The provincial government has done this, that, and everything else for them. And I just think they're basically owned by the provincial government. And for all intents and purposes. And that's okay. I don't have a problem with any of those. You know, that's community owned. It's politically owned. It's whatever. It's not owned by an individual. One individual is not making decisions on behalf of this organization the way that Bob Young should be, or a Mark Doman, or, you know, whoever owns the teams. Now, I'm saddened that Edmonton might lose their community ownership. Now, if you remember, way back when David Brilley had the team for sale before he passed, that I had written him a letter outlining how he should turn the BC Lions into a community-owned team. And by turning them into a community-owned team, I wanted him to port the team, which means transfer the team, into a foundation, so that the foundation owns the team. And then the foundation has members, and you have a membership fee to be part of the foundation. And those are the people who make the actual decisions. They vote. So I think that for $10,000, or $1,000, I don't remember what the number is. I'd have to look it up. You buy, or I think it's $1,000. It was $1,000 to buy and $100 a year to stay a member of the foundation. And you get 20,000 people at $1,000 each. You know, you've got $2 million. You've raised $2 million.
Yep.
So if David Brilley had put this team into the foundation and it was debt-free, he's a billionaire at the time, right? He could have put $2 million into the trust as well, or $20 million or whatever. He was throwing money all over the place. And to secure the thing. Now you've got people who are willing. I would pay $1,000 to have a plaque on my wall that says I'm a shareholder or an owner or an associate of the BC Lions. I would do that in a heartbeat. Especially, and I think a lot of BC Lion fans would, especially if they took that in payments over 10 months, $100 a month for 10 months is $1,000. Okay? So it would be quite easy. And then $100 a year to keep your membership up after that. Now you also do a corporate membership of $10,000, and they buy that in, and then they are a corporate member. And there's perks for being one. You know, it's your gold, platinum, and silver type of memberships, right? So each one of them has different benefits to it and different features. So that's how the BC Lions could have become a community-owned team again. And I like the idea. Of course, I came up with it. But of course, I like it. But it didn't go that way, and that's unfortunate. I don't believe that you could make that fly in Edmonton right now. I don't think the community is happy enough with that team that they would drop $1,000. I mean, there are people who are walking away from their season tickets right now because of the name change. And the fact the team sucks and has underperformed for the last 5 years.
2 years.
No, there was a reason why Chris Jones got brought in.
That's true.
Okay, they were a beyond a train wreck before that. That's why it's taken Chris Jones so long to turn this team around. It was in such terrible shape, had zero Canadians on the roster and of any caliber, and the team was just a mess. And not only was the team a mess on the field, the organization was a mess off the field because they bought into this woke garbage and took the pressure from the sponsors like Boston Pizza and what was that insurance company, the one with the little knight guy? You know which one I'm talking about? Anyhow, doesn't matter. These companies, these large corporations went to Edmonds and said, you have to change your name. I'd have told them to fucking pound sand. I'll find another sponsor. Goodbye. Because the tradition in the Edmonton Eskimos is massive. You can't just change the name because some sponsor doesn't like it. You can't do that. There are repercussions of that, and they're seeing that at the gate. So, yeah. I think at this point in time, private ownership is the only answer for the Edmonton Elks. And the sad thing is, it's going to be a group of individuals with no money or little money.
You think?
It's going to be, it's going to be, they're going to be millionaires, but, you know, they're going to have a net worth of $10 million, and there's going to be 10 of them. So they got a $100 million net worth, but no one person is willing to dump $1 million into it because it's 10% of their net worth. Okay? It's no different than, you know, the Murray Pezum, Bill Comrie, Nelson Scalbania eras in BC. It's, you know, we got bought by these millionaires, but they were just millionaires. You know, when a team, you need to dump $1 million into something, you have to have it. I mean, David Braley had that sitting on his kitchen counter. So you need billionaires. You need billionaires that want to do this because you're not going to make money.
Yeah, but there are wealthy people in Edmonton, and you never know when you can come by a guy who's got lots of money and he's bored and he wants to play with a football team, especially if he's an Edmonton native.
100%, and I hope they find that person. But right now, it's not looking like – anyhow, the information that I've seen so far, it's going to be a group of – ex-football players or whatever else are, you know, spearheading.
That's the problem. They should never let ex-football players buy anything. So.
No, I think there should be a rule about them not getting up past a certain level of management either.
Never. But I don't know. I'm not a big fan of community-owned teams. Never have been. And
why?
I think everything is decisions are made by committees, which I don't think is ever a great thing. I like where guys have control and they do what they want to do. And if it's their baby, look at what's his face has done for Hamilton. I mean,
Bob Young.
Bob Young. He doesn't care about money. He's got so much of it. And he just makes that team go along. And we haven't had a problem with Hamilton in a long time. And it's kind of nice. I mean,
hang on. The biggest problem in Hamilton, in my opinion, is Bob Young.
Well,
quantify that, okay?
Yeah,
okay. He's old. It's because he calls himself a caretaker, and he's a hands-off owner where he just everything's in place, okay? I'm sorry. If you're going to put your money on the table like that, then you need to make the people that are running the place accountable. They haven't won a Grey Cup in 25 years, okay?
Yep.
And every year, it's a disaster. And, you know, Orlando Steinauer should have been fired 4 years ago, and yet they promoted him. There has to be accountability. Mm-hmm. Bob Young has to demand accountability and say, I'm not writing any more checks. I want a Grey Cup. I will write a huge check. Go get me a Grey Cup. I will do anything. Go get me a Grey Cup. We need this team to win.
Yeah,
what
but
moron re-signs Bo Levi Mitchell?
But if you look at it from that perspective, I mean, look at Winnipeg. They went 28 years without a Grey Cup, without being decent, and you couldn't. That's all they did was fire people.
But they didn't.
And I think half the problem. But I think half the problem is it was run by a committee. So you can look at it either way.
But they were always the three teams, and I'm going to use Saskatchewan very loosely in this because their market is so small, that the three community teams are the best, have always had the best physical condition. Like, their fiscal, their money. They were always the ones that were never in money trouble. Calgary was in trouble. BC's been in trouble 50 times. Toronto's been in trouble. Montreal, Hamilton, Ottawa. Ottawa folded twice. All of the teams owned by millionaires have folded. Some of them just didn't make it to that end. BC Lions went bankrupt 4 times. Calgary Stampeders, 3.
Yeah.
Okay. Saskatchewan, yes, they had to have a telethon. They had to have 2 telethons to make money. But their market was so small, they didn't have the support that they did. And yet they saved their franchise. The community saved that franchise. The community-owned teams have always been the best economically. They don't have $1 billion in the bank account. They don't have $1 billion owner to save them. Now, I know that the contract that Winnipeg signed for their stadium was stupid. I mean, nobody could have anticipated them paying that back ever. And obviously they didn't, because the provincial government had to forgive it. But that's not their fault. I mean, yeah, that's just people signing checks that are bouncing. But I think the community-owned teams are better.
You see, but I still think that with community-owned teams, you don't attract the people you could attract with a privately owned team. For example, I have a friend who I played football with in high school, and he got drafted by the Lions of all people. I don't hold that against him in the 4th round. And he went to Lions training camp, and he blew out both his knees his first training camp in the first 2 weeks. Never played football again, but is an educated guy, works in the States. And when the Bombers were looking for new president, he was on the short list. And he said if he had been offered the job, he couldn't have taken it because he would have had to take a pay cut.
Mm.
So, you know, I think privately owned guys, they spend more money, and they have more money in a lot of situations, as opposed to community owns where, you know, you're probably not going to make more money than the board members. How does that sound? That's all I'm thinking. So.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, there's good things and bad things about them all, right? So.
Well, there is. But, you know, the CFL is not a money-making proposition.
No.
Not at this point in time. And it really never has been in my lifetime.
No, of course not.
So
it's probably a tax write-off.
Could it be?
Of course it could be.
It's a tax write-off. That's a good way of putting it.
It's guys who wanna play, okay? You know, some guys buy Lamborghinis and cars and play with those things. Some guys buy sport teams. Some guys buy, you know, but some guys buy yachts. Regardless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a toy. And if you treat this as a toy, then you have to have the money to treat it as a toy. Right? So it's not a, a man with $10 million net worth. I don't think it's even a man with $50 million net worth. It needs to be greater than that. We need to find billionaires that are willing to play, you know, have fun. And granted, we had one in Montreal, and I believe I don't think he's a billionaire, but he's pretty close, isn't he? Anyhow,
yep.
The guy who owns Montreal Alouettes now, you got Bob Young, the Ottawa Sports Group. So, you know, look at the different types of ownership. How many different types of ownerships do we have in the CFL right now? You have private owners. You have
private owners,
conglomerate owners, and you have corporate owners.
Yep.
MLSE and Calgary are both owned by a corporation.
Yep.
Oh, we got community owned as well, right?
Yep.
Montreal is owned by an individual. BC and Hamilton are owned by individuals. Ottawa is owned by a sports group. Toronto is owned by MLSE. And then we've got three community-owned teams.
Right.
So there's actually four business models that are being used right now. And we can't... They can't get their shit together. Honestly, they can't.
Yeah.
So.
You got a point. But I mean, and on top of that, once again, if the CFL would do things differently than what they're doing now, I think it would attract more individuals to buy teams, to be honest with you. I mean, can you imagine Randy Ambrosi trying to talk a billionaire into spending his money on a CFL team? Good fucking luck.
Yeah, I don't understand how Montreal happened.
He obviously must have wanted to buy the Alves, and that was it was. It wasn't a sales job by Randy Ambrosi.
No.
Understand
the guy
though,
who owns
Randy,
French TV, right? And he
right.
wants the French television broadcast rates from
TSN.
Right.
That's right. So there was something attractive there. But, you know, Randy Ambrosi is doing a pretty freaking good job as far as attracting that ownership group in Halifax, whoever that ownership group might be.
Oh, God.
You know, because it's going to be a reality within the next 2 years. Okay, that's what he says. So, I mean, he must have a group that he just doesn't want to introduce us to yet. What a fucking buffoon. That's all I can say. Like, wow. Really?
What initiatives has he started that were successful?
There was that, I can't even remember what it was called because they don't even bring it up anymore. What
with
was
the
thing
CFL
called where we went to Mexico and Germany and
CFL 2.0.
Yeah, there we go. There's something.
Yeah. And then he did the whole thing with the global players.
Yep. And I mean one good thing about him is he hasn't increased the Canadian ratio. Okay. So I mean, you got to grasp at straws sometimes, and it's yeah.
You mean we have to judge his value on the fact of things that he hasn't fucked up?
Well, but I'm sorry, but there's a
come
couple
on.
Of,
is that what you're telling me?
But there's a couple of spots where I can't forgive. You know, some things you can forgive, and some things you cannot forgive. And the big thing in my mind, the biggest fucking black eye in the history of the CFL is how come you can't get the fucking stat thing right after a fucking year? How do you do that after a year?
It's still not going.
It's just computer programs, for fuck's sake. Really? Like, how is that? And why are you not up these guys' asses to fix it? And why haven't you brought somebody new in? Like, I don't know where you come from, but where I come from, if you pay somebody to do something and they don't perform properly, you fire them. It's that simple.
Correct.
Okay, so
100% correct, sir.
And it's okay to give them a chance, but I think he's probably given them 27 chances to fix this debacle, because it is a debacle. It's ridiculous. Once again, it goes to the credibility of the league,
or lack thereof.
Yes. Yes, and every year we seem to be looking more and more like a joke. So,
what do you do? You know, how do you do it? I mean, I've been a fan of the CFL since 1971. It's going on 53 years. Okay.
And I
love this league with a passion.
Yeah, me too.
I wouldn't do the stuff that I do if I didn't, right? I mean, I wouldn't be doing this podcast. I wouldn't be doing the time in the Facebook group. I don't need the abuse from other people. It's kind of fun, but, you know, I don't need it. I can get abused at home. I have a wife and a daughter, right?
Yeah.
So why do I do it? Because I love the game. I love talking to people about the game. Why are we doing this podcast? Well, because we love talking to other people about football. Okay?
Right.
And it hurts my soul to watch what's happening to the CFL right now.
Sure.
Because it's on a slippery slope, and it's going out. And it's not going to survive. I really don't know if this is it's taken a shot of credibility to the nth degree right now. What do we do?
You see, my biggest issue has always been what I'm struggling with right now is I hate complaining about things. I've always had a rule that if you have a complaint and you come to my office, you better have a fucking solution too. All right, so I don't like to complain, but I do have solutions, but I have nobody who will listen to my solutions anyways. So
no,
to make things better. But the worst thing for me is these solutions. I'm not that smart. These solutions are simple and they can't even see it. And that scares the hell out of me. I mean, it's simple what they should be doing. It's simple. But they don't change things. They never have. I mean, we've been more or less looking at the same league for a long, long time now. And there's not that many changes. So.
No. I mean, everybody, you know, I have ideas on how to fix this league. I really do.
And every time I suggest them, people go, oh, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. This is what we've been doing for so long. Well, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Okay? We have proved that the business model of the CFL doesn't work. And it hasn't worked since the 80s. That's 40 years. Okay? This league has been foundering for 40 years. If it wasn't, then in the early part of the 90s, 93, 94, we wouldn't have been bringing teams in. We wouldn't do that. Wouldn't have done that big U.S. expansion. Wouldn't have done it, right? If the team, if the league was sound, it wouldn't have happened. And the only reason they did that was so that they could get the franchise fees to save the league. Okay? Because it was done so poorly that there has to have been an alternative motive. Okay? So we're going back that far. I mean, that is 30 years ago for sure that this league was bankrupt. And then the NFL had to step in and kick in a bunch of cash. And then they did this. And then they did that. And the league has been foundering around forever with mediocre attendance in most cities. I mean, we lost a team in Ottawa twice. We lost a team in Montreal twice.
Right.
Okay. I mean, we should have lost BC. We should have lost Toronto. But the league had to save those to save their television contracts. So, you know, it's just, if we continue doing what we're doing, why do we expect different results? So we need to shake up this league somehow. How's the best way to shake up this league? Put a better product on the field. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, nothing excites a fan better than a better quality football game. How do you do that? Stop putting inferior players on the field.
Well, improving the product, right? Putting inferior players on the field.
Raise the caliber of quality of players. How do you do that?
Yep. You bring in more Americans.
Okay. Yeah, 100%. Now, I was talking to a guy the other day, and he doesn't want, you know, he doesn't disagree with me on the fact that the ratio, the Canadian import ratio, or whatever we call it, national players, international players, whatever they're saying now, imports, non-imports is what it used to be. Remove it. Why do we have this at all? Okay. Now, the argument for that is that they want Canadians to play the Canadian game. Well, it's not a Canadian game. The name just says Canada on it, Canadian Football League. And that's probably the worst thing for this league right now. But it's something that we can't change, and we've got it, although I think it should change. But that doesn't mean that we have to have Canadian players, for one. And two, why would removing the ratio mean that there wouldn't be any Canadian players playing in this league? There are currently, 40, 50 players in the NFL? That's almost an entire team.
Yep. But once again, like we've talked about before, there is no professional sports league currently that has a ratio other than the CFL. And basically you compete talent upon talent. That's what you compete with, is the talent.
Of course. Now, why do we have a ratio? It's so that Canadian players can play. Well, it's not a professional sports team's responsibility to coddle players along that haven't been properly trained. Now, the NHL actually does that, It's called the AHL. So if the CFL wants, if they want to have Canadian players in here, then create a junior football league, okay? And put a team in Victoria, Kamloops, Kelowna, Prince George, Red Deer, Saskatoon, Thunder Bay, Guelph. You know what I mean? Build a league, even if it's two or three regional leagues, and go that way.
Yeah.
The problem is they don't have the money to do it, okay? And that's
no.
Okay. That's okay. They don't have the money to do it. So let's build a strong, powerful league.
And nobody's going to
– And then we can do that.
Nobody's going to pay money to go see Canadian teams. Okay, nobody.
No, they don't go see the youth sports games now.
They don't. Okay. I mean, you know what? We have the Calgary Wranglers in Calgary. You know, they're the Flames AHL team, and it's not a very popular thing. It is for some people because it's cheaper than the NHL, and I get that if you like hockey. And in my mind, it is pretty decent hockey. But you still don't get people beating down the doors. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. So my theory goes back, and where we're going to talk about this is that we wanted to Canadians need to play in the CFL, okay? But we can't force a team to field Canadian players. But we want to see as many Canadian players as we can because that's what people want, okay? I'm not saying me personally. I'm not saying you. I'm saying that that is the biggest argument that there is out there about the ratio is that people want to see Canadian kids playing football, okay? So how do you make a team – you can't force a team to field Canadian players. How do you make a team or make a team want to put Canadian players on the field?
Sorry, say that again.
How do you make a team want to play Canadian players? Don't force them where they actually want to do it.
When they're good players.
Okay, agreed.
When they're better than the Americans.
Right.
That they
and
have.
That's few and far between.
Yeah.
So how do you get let's look at Andrew Harris for an example. Probably one of the best running backs that's ever been in the CFL, regardless of nationality.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes. Yes.
He would never have got a chance in the CFL if it wasn't for the ratio.
We could throw John Cornish in there as well.
We can.
But John Cornish would have had a chance.
He was not as good as Andrew Harris.
Your opinion.
My opinion is he was not as good a running back as Andrew Harris, but John Cornish was a better running back to start with.
Uh-huh.
Andrew Harris needed two or three or 4 years to get up to the caliber, the quality that John Cornish was at coming into the league because he was trained by an NCAA team.
Oh, I thought he retired.
Who?
I thought Andrew Harris.
Of course he has. We're not even talking about that. We're talking about 10 years ago.
Well, no, but we are talking about that because you said he'll get up to where John Cornish is. By the end of his career, he already is. Okay, I don't agree with that, but that's okay. Anyways, I'm just being an ass.
William.
Okay.
Yes, you are. Okay. So how do you get a team to play a man like Andrew Harris until he gets to be of a decent quality that he could stand on his own merits?
You have some kind of junior league. Or some kind
granted,
of...
Granted, that would be good.
I don't know.
Okay. What
you
if
see,
you
here,
in the,
here's...
In, hang on. Let me work with this for a second, okay?
Okay?
I want to finish my thought.
Okay.
Give them an incentive to field a Canadian. And let's just say we have a 52-man roster, of which currently 21 of them have to be Canadian, right?
Right.
Not counting the quarterbacks. Okay.
Right.
So we don't want to force a team to have 21 Canadians, but it would be nice for them to have some Canadians on their team, on the thing. So if you had a choice, you wouldn't have any Canadians because the Americans are better quality players. So how do you get them to bring in a Canadian of a lesser value? Half of the Canadian player's salary does not go against the salary cap.
Okay.
So if sure. you're going to pay a guy $55,000 a year, okay, which is the minimum wage, or 62 or 64, whatever it is right now,
yep.
half of
yep.
it, then you get to spend more money to get an American, a better of quality American. So if you can put, if you field 10 or 12 Canadians on special teams, on whatever else, half of their salary doesn't go towards the salary cap, you could actually have a couple $100,000 extra that you can spend to get a better quarterback or a better running back or a better whatever than what any other team does because they didn't put the Canadians on their special teams.
Right.
So you're giving them an incentive in which to bring in Canadians.
Right. You see, so my overall biggest issue with...
You don't like the idea.
No. My overall biggest issue with having any kind of exception to the rule, I'd like to get rid of Canadians altogether. Because the way I look at it is, so a Canadian kid...
You want to ban them from the CFL?
No, a Canadian kid can go to NCAA football
Nathan
and
Rourke.
Play well and be a star and get drafted into the NFL, and he plays NFL his entire career.
Okay.
It's
not Nathan
and
Rourke, but go ahead, yeah.
He owes the CFL nothing.
Correct.
So why does the CFL owe Canadian kids anything? Because I guarantee you we'll just break it down to Canadians right now because we're not talking about Americans. Any Canadian who was offered a full-time job in the NFL would be there with fucking bells on tomorrow.
Of course.
And the CFL is kind of the fallback league. I don't think, and my brother will laugh at me, I'm sure, on the next show, I don't think NFL players are better than CFL players. I think they're different because it's a different game.
They're different. They're
okay.
different players.
And of course, once again, I believe everybody thinks, because most people don't know about football, okay? And everybody believes the NFL is better than the CFL because they're told that 27 fucking times a day how much better the NFL is with marketing and the whole thing. So that's why I think it should be just an open league and whoever makes the team, man. And you know what? You'd probably spend less money because we know that there's a lot of Canadians in the CFL, Canadian backups that make more money than the American starters because they're Canadian. So it just doesn't make sense anymore. And I don't know if it's because I would have argued to the death with you 30 years ago about the Canadian ratio. But now I guess I've gotten older and smarter and I realize that it doesn't make a difference. There shouldn't be an exemption for Canadians because it's the CFL. Because as we've discussed numerous times, the CFL is not about Canadian players. It's about Canadian rules. That's it.
But I hate using the word Canadian.
Right.
And it's not that I'm not proud to be a Canadian. I am. I very much am.
Me too.
Or I used
Me
to be
too.
Anyhow. I'm not sure about this
well,
Canada.
Okay.
The one I grew up in.
Did you hear Donald Trump's latest statement?
No, what now?
That if Pierre Jr. gets reelected and Donald Trump gets reelected, the minute Jr. steps into the USA, he'll have him
arrested,
and we'll never worry about him again.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
I do too. But we're not supposed to be political on this show, but yeah.
I know that. I know that.
He actually said that he was going to ban him from going to the United States, but then he said he would have him arrested.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Okay. It's the rules that make this game special. It's not Canadians.
It's not the Canadian players. Who was the last Canadian superstar in the CFL?
You mean quarterback?
No, superstar in general. Who was the last one?
Last Canadian superstar?
Yep.
Wow. You're going to tell me, but I could name off a few. Why?
No, I'm not going to tell you. I want your opinion. What do you think?
Well, probably Andrew Harris.
Yeah, okay. Once again, you know what I think about running backs. He was a dime a dozen.
Of course. You asked me who was a superstar, Harris was a superstar running back.
Who was the last great Canadian quarterback? Jackie Parker.
Well, there's only been one. There's only been one, and I don't think he was that good, and it's Russ Jackson.
Russ Jackson, there you go.
And I really don't think he was that good.
Isn't it amazing that the people we identify this league with, okay? Let's think about this. Ron Lancaster, George Reed.
Oh, Americans.
Names. They're all fucking Americans.
Yeah.
So, like, come on. Get it right finally, guys. Please.
No, we have not had an exemplary Canadian quarterback in the history of the CFL.
No, and let's face it, guys who play 4 years of U Sport or CIS or whatever the hell it's called now, they do not get the training that Americans get. Not even close.
Well,
and that's
Americans
why it takes them longer to develop. Yes, that's why it takes them longer to develop, okay?
Doesn't mean that they're lacking talent. I'm not saying that.
No, I'm not saying that either. They're lacking training.
They're not pro ready.
No, they're not. And why should we give them an extra 4 years to get pro ready? That's what college is for, man. That's what college is for.
Yeah. Not Canadian colleges. So I do agree with you. I have this really big issue with the ratio. I think it's holding the CFL back. And if you put a better team, better product on the field, you'll attract more fans.
Right.
It's inevitable. Now, I've said this before, and so many people cannot accept the fact America is a football country. It is the number one sport in that country. They like to claim baseball. They're really big on basketball. Not so good on hockey, but they're getting better. But they're a football country, okay? Especially the southern states. Okay? just a fact. Can't argue with this one. So why are we not marketing our product to the largest football audience in the world? And the answer is, we can't market them an inferior product. They'll laugh at us. They will. I would. Right? Plain and simple. Until we get our product up to the point where it's competitive, you know, we go back and say that the NFL is a better football league, but it's not. There are players in the NFL that could not survive in the CFL. There are players in the CFL that could play extremely well in the NFL. But it's a different game. The field's wider. The field's longer. There's more movement. There's an extra player. It's harder for the DBs. There's a million different reasons. Well, there's not a million, but there's a plethora of reasons why the CFL is better than the NFL. And there's just as many reasons why the NFL is better than the CFL. Okay, I'm not going to defend the NFL. I'm not going to tell you why they're wonderful and everything else. But fuck, they know how to market. You know, if all the CFL did was emulate the NFL marketing, the league would be better. But you can't market something that's not the best that it can be.
I mean, and the other thing, and you bring this up all the time, and it's a sheer numbers thing, 365 million people. They're going to have a lot better. They're going to have a whole bunch of better football players, or football. They're going to have a whole bunch more football players that have been playing since they were 7 years old. For Christ's sake!
If everything was equal, if absolutely everything was equal between Canada and the United States on the quality of football, okay? If everything was equal, okay? There would be 10 times more quality football players in America than Canada. 10 times.
Yes. Yes.
Because they basically have 10 times our population. So being a numbers game, they naturally would have 10 times more people that were capable of doing that. That is if our football training program through high school and university was comparable to the high school situation in America through high school and university. And it's not. It's not even close.
Right.
So that number isn't 10 to 1. It's 1,000 to 1. It might even be 10,000 to 1. Right? I mean, there are 22,000 football players graduating every year from NCAA Division I, Division I schools, not Division II, III, or whatever, just Division I schools. There's 22,000 of them. If 10% of those, if 1% of those 22,000 kids graduating from university every year, 1%, is 220 people. Could you imagine 220 people coming into the CFL?
Right.
Of that higher caliber players? No, we have to draft 9 rounds of U Sports players.
Yep.
We have to bring in 9 new U Sports players every year into the CFL when there are thousands of Americans available that are better. Where's the logic?
I don't see it. I honestly don't see it.
No.
Okay, so I saw something. There was a post here. I'm going to go back and talk about Chad Kelly for a minute, just because we can. Somebody posted this thing here, and it was quite funny. Where did it go? Here it is. Do you know a guy named Shay Patterson?
Say that again.
Shay Patterson.
What about him?
Do you know who he is?
The name sounds familiar, but no, I don't.
Okay, I believe he has just been signed by the Saskatchewan Roughriders. I could be wrong.
As what?
A quarterback.
Oh, yeah, no. Okay. They did just sign a Notre Dame quarterback, I know.
No, this guy's from Ole Miss and the Wolverines in Michigan.
Okay.
He was signed by the Kansas City Chiefs as an undrafted free agent in 2020. So he's 27 years old. Okay. So
yep.
The post says, this is funny, Shay Patterson is the quarterback that replaced Chad Kelly at Ole Miss when he got terminated from that school. So perhaps the Argos should acquire Shay Patterson from Saskatchewan and have him replace Chad Kelly as a quarterback for the Toronto Argonauts. I just thought it was a great
yeah.
choice.
It is.
You know? I don't know. What are we going to do? Did you see Todd Mogi pulled something out of the archives? And it was when they signed Pinball Clemens as the new GM of the Toronto Argonauts. And he said, "We're looking to build a culture first."
I know. Yeah, I saw that. I made some comments about that. Did you see my comments? I thought my comment was classic.
And what kind of culture are you trying to build? An asylum for loons?
An asylum for loons. I spelled it wrong.
Asylum?
For loons, because that's what it's turning into.
Asylum. Asylum. Yes, I mispronounced it. Yeah, it is. Absolutely. And how do you think the other Argo players are feeling right now?
Well, okay, so I've been thinking about that too. And they did sign some of their free agents.
Yes.
Okay, some of their bigger free agents. They did re-sign them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but you know, I still can't believe that Ryan Dinwiddie is somebody's favorite coach to play for, because I've heard he's a horse's ass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I don't know. And once again, you know what? Corey Mace is a nice guy, I hear. And it's amazing that all these guys followed him, because you would think that guys would think about their job security. And I would think they have more job security in Toronto than they would with a rookie head coach in Saskatchewan. Because, I mean,
with Trevor Harris as your quarterback.
You know, they signed Corey Mace for 2 years, but if he has a Devon Claybrook start, he's not going to last a year.
No.
Because Saskatchewan is not going to let him.
But it's not his fault.
But if you think about it, think about the year Devon Claybrooks was in BC. I think they just thought to themselves, it doesn't matter what kind of team we have. This guy just doesn't have it. And they got rid of them.
Okay, I'm a BC Lions fan. That's no secret. Okay?
Yeah.
I do not believe Devon Klaberts was a very good coach. Okay? Let's just throw it out there. But.
Right.
But. That was one of the worst football teams I've ever seen in this city.
Like player-wise?
Yes. He was destined to fail.
Right.
Right. Who thought that he could be successful? You know, what moron thought that he could be successful?
Well, someone signed him.
Wally did.
And I mean, they did have Mike Riley. So, once again, we talk about a quarterback driven.
They did not.
Oh yeah, they didn't they?
Not with Devon.
Who was the quarterback?
Travis Lule. It was broken.
You sure?
No. Yep, I'm pretty sure. Let me look. I think he came over with Rick Campbell.
No, I don't think he came with Rick Campbell. I think Devon had him. Because would have been worse. That team would have been worse.
Devon Klaberts was a head coach of the BC Lions in 2019. Yeah, Mike Riley was there.
Right. There you go.
Yeah, Mike Riley was there.
Could you imagine what that team would have been like without Mike Riley?
Oh, it was brutal with him.
Okay, so
that's the reason why he retired. He got beat up so bad.
I mean, and also Devon Klaberts wasn't smart because most of his coaches were rookies too. They had Nick Lewis in there as a rookie. They had Drew Tate in there as a rookie. They had a number of people in there as rookie coaches. So
he surrounded himself with his friends.
Yeah.
It was a disaster, okay? Nobody expected anything better from that. It was absolutely terrible.
Right.
But that being said, you know, what if you have a team that is broken, and I mean badly broken, so bad that you fired the coach. Hiring a rookie coach is stupid.
Right, I agree.
Go find a veteran coach and bring him in, okay? And that's not always going to work.
No, but a perfect example is Montreal last year.
Jason Moss.
Right.
He's experienced.
They brought Jason Moss in. He was an experienced coach. Not a lot of us like him, but he was an experienced coach.
Yeah.
And he brought experienced guys with him. When your football team sucks, the one thing you can do is bring in experienced coaches are a lot easier to find than good quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's the first thing you can do. I mean, with Saskatchewan, I mean, let's face it, they did have experienced coaches for a while, so I guess now they've decided to go the different way. And, you know, I mean, I hope Corey Mace does well because he's a good guy. So
I hope he does well, too, okay? I'm not dissing him, but don't expect them to be in a Grey Cup game this year.
Once again, there was one of those stupid posts yesterday or today about how Saskatchewan won free agency. They didn't win shit.
No.
Okay?
No.
Sorry.
So.
But, you know, you got to get.
When you have a team
somehow.
That has collapsed, you cannot bring in a rookie coach and expect him to, on the job training, to get himself up to speed. And the team at the same time. Okay? And that's the difference between the Saskatchewan Rough Riders bringing in Corey Mace when they're, you know, in a collapsed situation after Craig Dickinson, And the Edmonton Elks bringing in Chris Jones.
Right.
Or the BC Lions bringing in Rick Campbell.
Right.
But when the team isn't in a dire straits, in an absolute nightmare, okay, you can bring in a rookie coach. And that doesn't mean that they're going to be successful. And we showed that in BC. BC won the Grey Cup in 2011. In 2012, they handed it over to Mike Benavides, who proceeded over the next 3 years. He had a winning record, but the team was going the wrong direction, right? I mean, yep. Craig Dickinson in Saskatchewan, Chris Jones built that team up to be something spectacular. He left 2 weeks before training camp happens. Craig Dickinson comes in, goes 13-5 in the first year on a team that he really didn't do much about at all. It was Chris Jones that had built, designed, and put that team together. And so he goes 13-5. The next year he's going south, and he's going 9-9. And then the next year he's down at 6-12, and he gets fired. Okay, you brought a rookie coach into an ideal situation, and he failed.
Yep.
The only way to get a rookie coach to work properly in a team is to promote him from within, like Craig Dickinson was done in Calgary.
No recipe for any of these guys. I mean, you know, some guys can do well. Like I said, I hope Corey Mace does well. We'll see. You know, once again, this is the last year you can make excuses for Chris Jones.
I'm not making excuses for him.
Are you still there?
I never. Yeah, I'm here.
CJ?
What happened? William?
Hello.
What's going on? Okay.
Oh, okay. Should I keep talking? What am I going to talk about? Well, I'm talking. I'm all by myself now. Christopher Jones has dropped from the podcast.
Hello.
I can't hear him anymore. We're just talking about...
Am I back on now, Will?
How Edmonton has to do something this year or Chris Jones will get fired. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, how Corey Mace, I hope Corey Mace has a good season in Saskatchewan this year. We can only hope. So, you know, what can I say?
William, you there? Hello.
I mean, the nice part about my conversation that I'm having right now, there's nobody to disagree with me. So what should I say to people this year? BC is going to be awful. Saskatchewan's going to be awful. Toronto's going to be awful. Hopefully Calgary will be number one. And if they're not
Hello?
Number one, they'll be number nine.
Is this working?
Who knows?
William?
Only time will tell. So,
hello.
I guess I could go on a Chad Kelly rage, but yeah, I don't want to do that. What do we actually all think of Chad Kelly? Do you think he's good for this league? Yes or no? Do you think the league should keep him? Yes or no? Do you think it's a mistake for us to keep him regardless of what the outcome of his situation is? I guess we'll never know.
Hello, William. Hello. William.
Hey, what can I say? What can you say? Anyways, Christopher has dropped. I don't think he's going to get back on. And I'm done having this one-sided conversation, so I think I am going to call it a night and go from there. CJ. Oh, it'll be fun next week when Charles is back. I don't think Rick McDonald is back for at least a couple of weeks. We shall see. We're only, as of today, I think we are 80 days from opening camp. Anyways, this has been Let's Talk CFL. It has been a pleasure talking to you. And we will see you next week. Have a good night, and go, Owls, go.